Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views and advice expressed are not that of WWL or Entercom Louisiana LLC. Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Hey, Doug Sinceri, Michelle Demers, Sinceri, All Things Legal, but back for hour number two. So Albert's, you think Albert got to bed from last night yet?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he's
St. Paul?
St. Paul, yeah.
The
sure
Gloria. I give him a hard time.
Where was it held, do you know?
I think it was
Is it the Southern Hotel or somewhere?
Yeah. I do give him a heart. He was a great. He's a great athlete. He said he could dunk the ball till not too long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, 20 years ago, and
he still plays.
He still plays basketball. He plays in
the
Over the Hill Hot Mac League.
I thought you were going to say something.
What was I going to say?
Like the Old Man League or something.
Old Man League. Oh, yeah. He does. He's still. He's got hip replacement, but I think he's back, and you know he's back to his, you know, basketball style,
which is don't share the ball.
Once he gets the, he waves for the ball. He goes low purse, and he's sort of got a little girth in his backside. So he sort of uses that to clear the lane, and he calls for the ball. He's got one hand up, and he's waving. Get the ball. And then when he gets it, he'll figure out. You know, he's got more moves than, well, I can't say what I used to say, but he's got a lot of moves. And then you could either go for the rebound or start running for the other side of the court and get back to play defense on the other side, because he's a great athlete. He just has a little bit of a deficit when it comes to sharing the ball and passing. He just will never,
that's what I've
heard. He'll never lead the league in assist. But he's a great athlete. I have, you know, he does it all. I mean, when I was 14, I wasn't half the athlete he is now. So there you go.
There you go.
So I'm just telling you the way it is. All right. You know what? We have not had a question about trees in nearly a week. So let's go to Justin. He's got a question about tree cutting on a neighbor's tree impacting the property line. Hey, Justin, you and All Things Legal. Justin, my man. Let's see. Look, I punch him up.
Hello?
There you go, Justin. There you go.
Hello,
hey, man.
Hey, Doug. It's Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Great. I want to give a shout-out to your producer / call screener, because he's very patient with me, and he taught me when to call and when not to call.
There you go. That's Dave. Dave keeps us.
He does a great job.
Keeps the trains running on time. That's it. We thank
Dave. Is that his name? Dave
Potter. He makes an amateur look less amateurish. There you go. That's the best way I can say that.
I'm the amateur. I'm the call screen. I'm the guy's call.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know Albert's got a hangover, so he can't answer this question. So here's my
No, he's not. He's just recovering from the consuming of adult beverages after a reunion where they, you know, they tell him how great of a quarterback he was last 40 years ago and all. So, you know.
Well, I love Albert, too, so tell him I said hello. My story. Yeah. I live in a house where I rent, and my landlord owns the house. Mm. Well, next door are my neighbors, and they're some of my best friends I've ever had. The man died about a few months ago. I'm so broken heart about that. But they, since they're dead and she moved out of the house, their trees are growing over the fence over my driveway, which might fall on my car. If I cut them down, and my landlord wants to throw them back in the neighbor's yard, I know that's not nice, but is that legal?
Oh, this is the same text. It's
probably not wise. Is it legal?
I would say it could be considered trespassing.
Yeah, it could be a form of trespassing. As far as cutting branches that extend on the other side, you can cut them as long as they don't affect the integrity of the tree. So you could do trimming to preserve. Now, if you can't cut it to the extent where it could endanger the maintenance of the tree, whereas if you cut a big branch and it's tilting or some kind, arborist would say, no, if you cut this branch, right, it's going to really affect the integrity of the tree. You can't do it. But you can cut it to the extent that it doesn't affect the integrity of the tree. As far as throwing the other branches on their side, out of wisdom.
I want to be clear. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, out of wisdom.
I'd rather cut my branches in my driveway, and I'll throw them away in my trash can. Yeah. But my landlord, I've seen him before. He throws them back on their yard, and I just don't like that.
Well, a lot of times legal situations occur from the lack of exercising the lack of wisdom that escalates.
Okay.
And so when you do that, what often happens is maybe your neighbor decides to retaliate a certain way.
And, you wouldn't do that.
Well, I know. No, or somebody. Because I've seen a situation like Uptown where, you had a neighbor who was maybe being – this is where you had the common walls. And you had some issues. And then one neighbor complained to the other. The other neighbor got offended. So every time he would walk to his from his car to it, she'd take a bucket and she'd empty out water on him. And it just escalated over something. It's over rudeness. In other words, there was rudeness and lack of wisdom in the interaction with your neighbor over some petty things, maybe that your garbage can was 3 inches on your property line.
I've heard the garbage can thing too.
And a lot of times when you have those neighbors, it sort of starts out with both of them being rude to each other, being easily offended and wanting to get the other back. And then it escalates into something that could be a trespass, that could be some type of violation of law that, the courts have to intervene on. So from that perspective, is throwing branches on there, is it a technical violation of law? It could be. If it's if it's enough branches, and then but it just sort of escalates things, and that's how things happen.
Doug, I want to call you Albert because we're talking about trees. Doug, I wouldn't hurt the tree. I'm just concerned. I have a branch that's going over my driveway, and if I cut it down by myself, it's going to hit my house and destroy roofing and guttering. I can't do that.
Well, like I
certainly would. I surely would cut it up and throw it back in my neighbor's yard. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
My landlord wants to do that.
Right. I would tell him, that's it would be a very unwise thing to do, and it'd be a punitive thing to do. And personal disputes that escalate come from punitive action that is just, not wise. So,
well, Doug and Michelle, you guys know me. I don't want to escalate anything. No. I want to calm things down.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Justin, thanks for the call. Let's go to Alan's got a question about, another tree question. Hey, Alan, what you got for us?
Well, it's not a tree question. Judge Judy says you can't cut that branch down.
Where's Judge Judy live?
Look, she lives in California.
Somewhere in California.
You can't barbecue in California because they get upset.
Yeah, you're right about that. Your football guy's got a hangover, right?
No. He's not hungover. He's just sleeping off. He's just sleeping off a celebratory night where they celebrated his 40 years of being quarterback for St. Paul. And he probably just stayed up late, and he's just sleeping off the consumption of maybe a few adult beverages. I didn't say he was hungover.
Patience for him, but I was going to say maybe we could use him as that wildcat offense.
He could. Look, he was Taysom Hill before Taysom Hill, except he couldn't pass. He was the same style player.
Long as he could run the option, wildcat.
He could run the option, and he could run the wildcat. That's something he could do. And now he didn't pitch much. He didn't pitch on the option because he thought he was the best option when he was running the ball. But he,
like look, the little dog Jesse James from WWE says, you better get on the phone and call somebody.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Funny. That's right. So he's good. He's all good. He's all good. All right. Thanks, thanks for calling. Yeah, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri, All Things Legal on the Saints Cowboys Sunday. Man, they're going to be fueled up by 7:20 kickoff.
Huh? It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be fun. Good news for the Saints. Sheldon Rankins, who has had the severe knee injury last year, is going to make his debut.
Perfect.
So maybe he'll put the clamp down. I'd guess he'd probably play 20, 25, 30 plays. And one thing we needed a little bit was just tightening up the middle with the run. So he should help with that, and that's very, very good news. And we have LSU, like I said, we're healing this week from a lot of a few injuries. Boy, it was Alabama. Oh my goodness. I was having nightmares about Tua last night.
Were you?
Yeah, cuz LSU is neat. Now, I think we're going to get to LSU Alabama with 7-1 or 8-0. I think there's a good chance we'll be 8-0 if we can get past, we got Auburn and we got Auburn in Florida.
Right.
But they're at home, so that's good. But the only way you can beat Tua, in my opinion, is push up the middle. You push them up the middle and make them run right. That's the only way you can do it. And, I mean, against Ole Miss, I mean, he just unstoppable.
Somebody did that well against them.
Clemson.
Clemson
did pretty good mm-hmm. with it, and you still had to outscore them.
Right.
But that's one thing LSU's got to work on is the rush and getting, especially with Tua, the push up the middle and the RPO. Because on the RPO, you got run-pass option. Right. I think the only way you can beat it is by pressure. You can't because if you give time, something's going to be open. You can't cover the entire field for everything. There's going to be something that's open. If you have time, you can. That's why Joe Burrow has been able to do what he's doing.
Right.
I mean, Joe Burrow is going 21 from 24, and he's upset about the 3 incompletions. So there you go. I was just having nightmares about Tua, but I think it will be one of those.
That and the dog going off them.
Yeah, that was another dream off the cliff. So maybe that's another story. All right, let's go to Patrick's got an LLC question. Hey, Patrick, you and All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Okay, listen, I'm trying to figure out on the LLC company, I'm trying to see can another LLC company sue another LLC company? Or
absolutely.
Do you have to go first?
No, yeah. This is America. Anybody can sue anybody. No, yeah, LLC can sue another LLC, and it often happens in business disputes.
All right, so how would you go by if you could you mess with the individual that owns the company also?
No, first of all, you'd have to sue. You'd have to look in the Secretary of State, and if it's ABC Company LLC, if you look on the Secretary of State website, they will have an agent for service of process. So basically what you do, and this is conceptually, you name the LLC as a defendant, you state your grievance, you state the causes of action for your grievance, in other words, what law, civil law they violated, and then you request some relief, what you want, whatever money damages you're entitled to, and then you have to serve the agent, the registered agent, as referenced in the Louisiana Secretary of State's website, the lawsuit. That's the explanation. It's like trying to explain brain surgery in 10 seconds. But I mean that's the overall 30,000-foot view of that.
Yeah, because I'm in need number one. I'm the LLC and the other LLC, and what it is. I'm trying to find where you found an attorney or someone down a case over 37 years that my LLC worked for this other LLC on a contract, and I'm trying to find where would you find an attorney? All attorneys don't have the LLC case.
Well, how much is your dispute? How much are you looking to get from the other side?
really is worth over $500,000 to me.
Oh, well, no. Well, I mean, what's it? Okay, there's two parts. It's what the case is worth to you and what's the case worth under the law. So I'll ask you a second.
Under the law, this is what I've lost in the last 3 to 4 months. I've lost over $25,000 by the action of the LLC company.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, there's attorneys who file claims. There's two types of claims. I mean, sometimes attorneys will take a case based on contingency, on a percentage of the recovery, and sometimes they require you to pay hourly. I will say that sometimes attorneys are reluctant to take lawsuits against small LLCs on a contingency basis because a lot of times, if the LLC doesn't have a lot of assets that you're suing and you get a judgment, sometimes they just abandon the LLC and open up another one.
Not cutting you off, but this company is well established, over 50 years old.
Okay, well then I would just call attorneys to see if they would take your case under contingency. If they don't, they may require you to pay an hourly fee. Sometimes they'll do a hybrid where you pay maybe the cost and a lower hourly fee and they get a contingency. There's ways of working that out. But what you're going to have to do is call attorneys and have... Well, if you call our office, we could give you some numbers of people who would maybe consider doing that. So at 837-1304... We generally don't take contingency cases for LLCs. I mean, we do it hourly, but we could refer. We have some attorneys who may be interested in doing that. And we could refer you to them.
Okay.
Thank just
you.
Call. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Go Saints. That's right. Go Saints. Go Tigers. Let's go check. All right. Well, you want to take the call? Or you want to go through the break? We got the. Oh no, break. That's right. We don't go bottom of the hour. Old habits hard to break. So there you go. We can take time, and we don't need to rush. Hey, Tom, you and all things legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Oh, doing great.
I live in Jefferson Parish. I've lived at my residence for 25 years. I have a swimming pool. Uh-huh. By law, I'm required to have a 6-foot fence with interlocking gates, which I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I've replaced the fence 3 times in 25 years at my expense.
Mm-hmm.
I looked in the Jefferson Parish fence laws or codes, and it's interesting, you know, that where I found that I am required to maintain my fence. However, it also says the maintenance of the fence is to be equally shared with your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of that I'm required because I have a pool. However, the maintenance, I could ask my neighbors on their side to pay the half of the fence.
Part of the fence is not on your around the pool is not on their property line, right? They would have to.
I have 3 neighbors. Each one of them has a fence that is on, it's on my property.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you are correct if it's on a common property line. Does it happen very often? No. Because if you go over to your neighbor and say, hey, I got some maintenance on my fence, I want you to pay half of it, first of all, that's probably will be something that the neighbor would not take kindly to. Number two, you could have disputes as to whether the maintenance is necessary or not. Three, whether the maintenance, you're getting the best price for the maintenance. So technically, the law does provide that. Do people do it? Very rarely. Unless they want to, unless they don't mind irritating their neighbors. So, yes, you could do that, and you'd have to go through a procedure, write a letter. You have to propose the maintenance. You have to propose the price. You'd have to propose what needs to be done. You have to propose the scope. You have to propose that, this maintenance is necessary. And you could do that. But, some other people may say, I have this right, but I'm not going to exercise that right in the spirit of neighborhood being at peace, neighborhood peace, and not you know, not when you walk out the door, your neighbor waves the number one sign at you every time he sees you, you know. So, you can do that. Sometimes that becomes more of an issue when you have to build a fence on a common property line, and you know, you get with the neighbor and you say, "Hey, we got to build the fence," and you know, you can. You know, have that as an issue. But yes, the law says you could do that. But you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. All right, well, thanks for the call, appreciate it. You know it's sort of an interesting issue. When we talk about law, we talk about this in business, we talk about this in family law, is that certain people do have certain legal rights,
right?
But sometimes it's wisdom as to whether you want to exercise these legal rights or not. Because a lot of times, we say this in family law, you could win a particular issue and win that battle, but the consequences and the effects of winning that particular battle could have a more greater adverse effect on the functioning of your family.
Right.
And in this case, I mean, he's got a right to do it. But, you know, people like to live in their neighborhoods in peace.
Right.
They like to walk out their front door and not have people, you know, taking their thumb and waving their, you know, fingers at you.
Well, and I was thinking the truth is
on their nose,
if they don't have a pool, they could say, "I don't need a fence."
Right.
And then he has to put the fence up because of restrictions for the pool.
So, I mean, that's another argument. But, again, there's certain legal rights that you can exercise. Like when I advise businesses, I advise them on two bases. One, so you would not lose in court if you get in a dispute. But more importantly, I advise them, don't do this so there's just not a dispute.
Right. Yeah.
Because, for example, if a client wants some wages and you have a dispute over wage or something like that, and it's not a big amount, and the employer is very upset about it, I'm like, might be better just to do a severance agreement. Pay them a couple $100, grit your teeth, and have it over with, because if it's a dispute later, you might be spending 10 times that much and you still have the problem.
Right.
And family law, you know, there's battles that you have, issues regarding custody, regarding, you know, payment of child support, whether you should pay the registration fee for travel baseball and all those type of things. Hey, you might not have to pay it. But you know what? If you don't pay that extra $50, you're going to catch heck from your kids. Catch heck. You know, it causes that decision to exercise your legal right is outweighed by the cost, the non-monetary cost, the difficulties that making that decision does, you know, makes.
Yeah.
And so
I think that's just wisdom. I think that's wisdom in life.
And I think, you know, part of, I guess, being a lawyer and always – is you look at the whole picture and you say, legally, you're probably right. Legally, you probably have a case. But what is the cost of exercising this right? And what is the benefit of it? And if the cost, either monetary, emotional, in a business, morale-wise, is outweighed by the benefit, sometimes it's better to, you know, not exercise that right. I always tell the story, and I use this analogy, is that before we had paychecks, I got a notice from the IRS saying I didn't pay $245 of payroll taxes. And so I sent it over, got it analyzed, and the person who analyzed it said, "I got good news and bad news. The good news is you don't owe the $248 in payroll taxes. The bad news is your bill is $800 for figuring that out."
Yeah.
And so in the context of making decisions legally, you also have a lot of those decisions to make. And, you know, the exercise of wisdom is probably the most important aspect of getting advice from a lawyer. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Alexander. He's got a question regarding child support. Hey, Alexander.
Yes, sir.
What you got for us, man?
My question is, I've been paying child support since my son was five. Now, when he got out of high school, I was looking and I saw that, you know, you're not obligated to pay it, but I went ahead and I continued to pay it all the way through when he finished graduating college back in May of this year. Now, my ex-wife is saying because he's still living at home because he hasn't found a full-time job that she's gonna take me to court to have me keep paying this child support.
Child support ends.
Me having to pay all these fees?
Yeah, no, child support ends upon the child turning 18 if they have graduated from secondary school, or it can continue when they're 19 and then stops when they graduate. If you have a 19-year-old who's still in high school, it ends on their 19th birthday.
So now that he's graduated college, in other words, my whole question is, is there any judge that's going to side with her and make me continue to pay this child support?
The only way that they could do that is if your child is under the age of 24 and is considered, or it might be 22 now, considered disabled under the law.
Oh, no. He went to Case Western. He's got 2 degrees. He's not disabled.
Yeah, you're okay.
That's a voluntary payment. You have no legal obligation, and there would be no enforcement of that request by your former spouse.
And then the other question I have with regard to that is on my thing, because I'm retired military, and it says, you know, on my, when it gets deducted out of my check, it says indefinite. Why is it even saying indefinite regarding child support?
Who's doing the automatic deduction? Is it you?
Well, it's taken out of my check, and then and it's sent to the child support office agency in Baton Rouge.
It might be an arrearage.
Do you owe an arrearage amount?
No. I've never owed any arrearage, and they've even told me that at the child support.
Then
office.
You can terminate it. You could file a motion or to have it terminated.
Well, what do I specifically file? Is it an affidavit or something?
No, you just file
a motion to terminate.
What parish are you in?
Jefferson Parish, sir.
You'd have to go on Manhattan Boulevard and file a motion to at the juvenile court to file a motion. To terminate.
All right, based on aging out. All right, I appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you all kindly.
No worries. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Steve's got a question regarding a parking issue involving a neighbor. Hey, Steve, you're on All Things Legal.
Hello, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Hey,
what you got for us?
I'm doing all right. Look, I'm renting a place uptown in New Orleans, and I'm from the country. I'm not used to all this city stuff. And
I hear you.
I have a single driveway from the road. It goes, the little place I'm renting is pretty much like an outdoor kitchen to the big house.
Uh-huh.
And the house is the same landlord. A lady rents the house, and I rent the back apartment. It's me and my wife that rents it. And the driveway is supposed to be shared. And she insists that I park on the road at night, even though we both work and we only have one little car. And we leave early in the morning, and we're back late at night. So I don't understand what the issue is. If it's both shared, my landlord said I could legally legally park behind her as long as I don't block her in. I don't know what to do.
Well,
I hate parking my car on the street. You know, I'm not used to the city yet, and I don't want nobody breaking my nice car and all that.
Are you on a written lease or a month-to-month lease?
A written lease.
I would check your lease.
The lease would determine whether you would have your rights on the driveway.
Are you able to park behind her without blocking her in?
It's kind of hard because everything's so tight. The houses are so close.
Right.
It's a long single driveway. But what's good about it is it has a little gate where I can lock it and everything. It's like, man, if I could, I feel safe for parking my car in the driveway. She never leaves, and you know, I'm up at door at 4 a.m. I'm not back to almost 10 at night.
I would check your lease to see what that says. If not, when you renew the lease, I'd write something in to get those rights secured. All right, my man, okay. Steve, thanks for the call. Let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. I got Dave Potter, an engineer who makes an amateur look less amateurish, corrected me. Sheldon Rankin's had an Achilles injury, not knee. I should know that. In fact, one of our grievances, maybe about 27 years ago in the NFL, is I had a player who had an Achilles injury. And once he had it. Now, Achilles injuries, used to, if you had one, you used to miss the following year, and you'd come back 2 years later, and medical technologies improved. But we had the issue was he had the Achilles injury, and then at the in the playoffs, so they wanted to cut him in the beginning of the season, saying he is fully rehabilitated. And so we filed, and they cut him. And so we filed a grievance saying you can't cut an NFL player until they reach maximum medical improvement and they're fully rehabilitated, and they have to pay the salary in between. So they didn't want to pay maybe 8-9 additional weeks of salary because it went against the cap.
Right.
So we had to argue whether an Achilles injury was a 6-month recovery or, you know, our position was it was basically a year recovery. And they ruled it was about a 9-10 month recovery. And that was with the advances they made back then, but they, you know, the advances now are even more as far as recovery. So Sheldon Rankins is going to be back based on an Achilles injury and not a knee, like I incorrectly reported. So we're tracking.
There you go.
All right, let's go to Edward's got a question regarding liens. Hey, Edward, you're on All Things Legal. What you got for us, Edward?
All right. Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask a question. Is there a lien form that I can print off the internet to place a lien for someone for non-payment for work that was done on a property?
I tell you what, there is. I tell you what, if you call our office, we'll give you a lien form. But you're going to have to. We'll send you one, and you can take it from there. But you're going to have to put the property description. You're going to have to put the amount the lien's for, and I would attach the contract and your invoice for non-payment. And then I would file that.
Okay.
All right. But just call us at 504-837-1304, 837-1304. We'll send you a lien form and if you want to do it yourself. All right, man?
Okay. Thanks.
All right, my man.
Thanks.
Let's go to Keith's got a question regarding Keith. Corporations. Hey, Keith, you and all things
good
legal.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What morning. You got for us, man?
All right. Real quick, in 1993, I opened up my hat shop, and back then the attorney said, look, man, you got to have a corporation. So we did an S corporation.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, why are we doing that? He goes, so you can protect your personal assets in case you ever get sued.
Right.
So a friend called me the other day. He's opening up a hat shop. And I said, yeah, man, make sure you get a corporation. He goes, well, do you carry liability in your shop? I said, well, everybody leases from me. So it's up to them to get their own insurance. I said, but I got a corporation. From what I was told, if somebody broke their hip in my shop, I would be protected on my personal assets, but they could sue my corporation. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's good to get both. It's good to, if you have a business, to have a corporation, it limits your liability. And also insurance is good because there's two aspects of insurance that people don't think about. The first part is they'll indemnify if there's damages. But what's often more expensive is the defense. You get somebody to defend you. If you didn't have insurance and your corporation got sued, but you weren't at fault, you still have to prove yourself that you were not at fault. And you'd have to hire an attorney, and you'd have to probably pay a lot of money to defend yourself. So
sure, I'm saying that if I was at fault. I mean, let's just say somebody tripped over their feet in my shop. Well, and they fell down and they injured themselves.
Well, if they tripped over their feet, that doesn't stop people from suing. It's just they may not prevail. But the problem is you'd still have to hire an attorney to defend your case, and that's very expensive. So it's best to do both because a lot of especially in our society where people sue for any reason. And a lot of times people sue and they say, well, you know, it's going to cost $25,000 to defend the case. Give me $15,000. And a lot of times businesses, insurance companies say fine because we want to cut our losses.
Right.
But you want to get insurance so that you also have a defense as well as, you know, where an attorney will be represent your on your behalf. And you're not paying out of pocket for it aside from the premium.
I understand what you're saying. So it's better safe to be.
Yes,
better safe than sorry.
Get both. Get both if you're a business owner.
Okay, man. Listen, you enjoy the Saints game today.
That's right.
Thanks so much.
All right. Let's go to Robbie. He's got a question regarding terminal disease. Hey, Robbie.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good. Last year I was, diagnosed with cancer.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay. I'm just trying to move forward. But I'm trying to find what kind of lawyer should I seek to kind of settle my estate? Do y'all handle that?
Yeah. You get an estate lawyer who will sort of plan for transitions.
Okay.
I mean, you got a couple of transitions. One is if you're unable to make your own decisions, and two, you know, where your estate would go. So an estate lawyer. That would be
okay. All
right.
And also, hey, just one other quick question. I'm creating a large amount of debt with my medical bills and credit cards and traveling to Houston back and forth. Is there any way to kind of shield that for my wife as I pass? Or
I think in estate planning, there are certain things that can address that situation, and you would have to. I'm saying there's things you can do to address that particular situation.
Okay, great.
Okay, and God bless you, and you know.
Thank you.
And man, just I hope you get healed, man. You have to deal with that. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. We won't be on for a few weeks. As long as the Saints are playing at 12 o'clock, we get preempted. So stay tuned for 11 o'clock for Fans First Take with Steve Court and Todd Manette. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Steve Court and Todd Manessis, and countdown to kickoff around 5:30-ish with Bobby and Mike D'Atelier and Christian Garrick. But thanks for coming. You got a prediction for tonight?
Saints are going to win.
My prediction is this: very, very difficult game. They're just going to have to be hitting on all cylinders. So we'll probably see you in about a month on All Things Legal. Be good and be blessed. Go Saints and go Tigers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.